This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. Boy, the hits keep coming over in North Carolina on the football side of things. Mike, North Carolina defensive coordinator Steve Belichick. He's on indefinite medical leave. Coach Belichick announced, of course, if you don't know him, that's his son. Yeah, if you connect the dots, the last names, the guy that makes the faces. Defensive coordinator Steve Belichick is on medical leave and out indefinitely, according to Bill Belichick. He gave no further details and did not say whether Steve would be able to coach in the season opener against TCU in Ireland on August 29th, noting only they, quote, look forward to getting him back as soon as possible. I mean, that's, first off, like, you just hope he's okay. But out indefinitely, medical leave out indefinitely, that's not the flu, Michael. That's something somewhat serious, or I would imagine so. So hopefully he's okay, but you don't put a guy on leave if he's just dealing with the sniffles. So we'll keep our eyes out for that one. The Suns are keeping Dylan Brooks on a $73 million contract extension through the 29-30 season. Dylan Brooks has kind of been... Now, a lot of people look at him on the surface. They see the goofy stuff, the intimidation stuff he tries to do out on the floor. He's actually kind of been a sneaky, good culture creator. This idea that Phoenix is trying to change the culture around this team. Brooks coming off of his best season of his nine-year career. He averaged a career-high 20.2 points per game to go with 3.6 rebounds and a 1.8 assists for a surprise 45-win playoff team that is trying to not really rebuild, but regather. And Dylan Brooks has become a key part of that. Wide receiver Stephon Diggs will sign with the Washington Commanders. He signed a one-year deal worth up to $12 million. And so now he'll be opposite of Terry McLaurin. They're going to have pretty good receiving core there. He attended their first fall practice yesterday and shared a video on Instagram from and basically just said, shout out to my Terps and go Commanders. Let's go. 32 years old. Still very good. You know, he had 85 catches last year. 1,000 yards. Still really good. He's been to the Pro Bowl, voted to the Pro Bowl four times. The last time was 3 years ago, though. So he's looking to get back to that and be, you know, a top-tier receiver. I don't know if he can. I mean, still, 85 passes for 1,000 yards. Last year, receptions for 1,000 yards. Still pretty darn good. He had the weird stuff, the off-the-field issues. May 4th, he was found not guilty of felony strangulation as well as assault and battery charges against his personal chef, Jamila Adams. The NFL also investigated that situation and determined there was insufficient evidence to suspend him for violation of the personal conduct policy. So, I mean, that's part of the reason it's taken him so long to get on a team. But he found a new home on the Commanders. Jerry Jeudy, former Bronco, was in the news. He made a viral video in which he named his preference of quarterbacks for the Browns and saying he believed he flashed four fingers, which was in reference to his daughter's age, is what he's saying, not Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Maybe. Convenient. But Deshaun Watson wears number four. And the video came. It was a TikTok live stream. He raises four fingers, which most believed it was a reference to Watson, who wears number four. The video appears to have been edited, however, as there is a skip in the clip between when Judy shows his fingers and when the question is shown. I saw the video. The question is shown. I don't remember the question exactly, but it basically references who should be the starting quarterback for the Browns. And Judy put up four fingers. But he had somebody, had somebody edit the video and remove the question. So it just shows him now putting up four fingers.
Sounds very suspicious to me.
Very suspicious to me. Was it her birthday? If she's just turning four that day, can we find out? Because if not, it sounds like Jerry Judy is giving his vote to Deshaun Watson. He told reporters that the video was cut and that before the edit, he showed his daughter, which prompted a viewer to ask how old she was. I threw out the four because she's 4 years old. Judy said he spoke about the video to Watson and Shedeur Sanders, who have been alternating first-team reps in Cleveland's quarterback competition. Judy said, I don't know what they're thinking in their mind, so I had to just go up there and clear it up to them and know what really happened and not what the media portrayed it to be. Well, I mean, we didn't portray it any certain way. There was a question on a video. You held up the number four, and then the video appears to be edited, and now you're saying it's, you know, for your daughter. Okay. Now, I'm glad Jerry Judy's not.
Her birthday
anymore.
Is not listed, by the way. Just 2022.
So she's four.
Yeah.
We don't
That's
know
all
her
we know
birthday.
Is that she's four. And we don't know when her birthday is, so.
It does seem weird. It seems weird. He told reporters that the video was cut and that before the edit, he showed his daughter, which prompted a viewer to ask how old she was. That's convenient. It worked out. It works out that she's four. I'm glad the Jerry Judy thing, man. What could have been? There were glimpses of Judy, but for the most part, Mike, his time in Denver will not be remembered positively.
He'll be remembered for all that potential that he dropped on the field.
And then he had one of those crazy games for Cleveland against the Broncos when we had that. Was that last year?
It was two years ago
when we had that shootout.
And keep in mind, our backfield was badly injured, and he did not beat.
Surtain wasn't in that game.
Hang on, brain.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where you're going here.
Well, I'm trying to remember the cornerback's name. We were talking about him in the first segment.
Riley Moss, Patrick Surtain.
No, Moss was hurt.
Jaquan
Surtain,
McMillan.
He didn't beat Pat Surtain at all. He just beat everybody else.
Judy went on to say, I've been in the league for 7 years, at least five or six of the years. It's all been a quarterback competition within those years. I think I'm mature enough and wise enough to not answer questions like that. For everyone to believe that I would answer something like that on social media is kind of wild, but you got to understand this is where we are and understand how everybody's viewing the quarterback competition in this room. So every little thing is going to try to turn it into that. Which I get it, I understand, but like I said, I spoke on it. I said what I truly felt about the situation, and I leave it off from there. If anybody wants to believe that, that's what they want to believe.
I think every athlete and celebrity should have a no-nonsense human being check their social media stuff before they send it. Because a lot of people think, oh, I have so much influence, and they just look stupid. Or they'll make something, and it means one thing, and it looks like something else.
I don't know. He seems like the kind of guy that would do that and then would go edit it and then make up the story about it. And again, I guess his daughter is four, so it's partly true.
Yeah, he's got a six-year-old and a four-year-old.
But it does seem like he would be the kind of guy to do that. I'm sorry. Prove me wrong. How about this one from CSU? Just got this hot off the presses. Hot off the presses? Is that what you say? Is that how you say it? Hot off the presses. Colorado State's Juice Vereen tight end, was named to the preseason watch list for the John Mackey Award, which, of course, is awarded annually to the best tight end in college football. Cool, but don't a lot of guys get on a preseason watch list? How many guys get on, like, a preseason watch list?
Preseason watch lists are great, but then the season starts, and you have to look at your opponents, and you have to look at your quarterback, and you have to look at your play caller.
He played...
means nothing.
Vereen played... Yeah, it means nothing, but at the same time, it's kind of cool on August 6th. You know?
Feels good if you're a part of the fan base.
It's better to be on a list like that than not be on a list like that. Does it mean anything? No. But it's better to be on it than not. Vereen played one season at UConn. He had 22 receptions for 310 yards and 5 touchdowns across 10 games. He began his career at North Carolina State. I'd love to see a tight end just dominate again. I mean, that was like the one good... Some of the darkest times for CSU were when Trey McBride was there. And that's kind of hard. That's hard to say it like that. And I'm not meaning Trey McBride had any
correlation, not causation,
had anything to do with that being the dark times. He was the one kind of shining light that CSU had in that stretch. But it would be cool. It would have been awesome to see Trey McBride with, I'm going to say it, more of a competent head coach and a better quarterback situation, a better offensive situation. It would have been awesome. The fact that he put up monster numbers the way he did with all that going on is why he's who he is. It's why he's in the NFL. It's why he's one of the best tight ends in the league. Guy's a beast. I would love to see a dude on at the tight end position come in and dominate for CSU. Rams are in full swing for their fall camp, ready to go getting ready to go for their season opening game against Wyoming on September 5th in Canvas Stadium. Get your tickets today at csurams.com/tickets. Just a little plug there for CSU. I think I'm going to that game. I believe I'm going to that game.
Can you still buy that autographed turf?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably all sold out. Why don't you check?
I don't remember the website.
I don't remember it either.
It's ridiculously expensive. The one that I would have bought, way too expensive. It was the court ring or something.
The rings were cool. The one rings to rule them all, Michael. The Lord of the Rings reference there.
CSU, so they're not going to be ruling them all for a while.
Oh, I think so. They're in the Conference of Champions, so they'll probably...
Might rule the Conference of Champions if Boise State and Washington State and Oregon State are all hurt.
People keep asking, and I think Lytle's getting the same stuff here. And I know very little about CSU right now. I'm hoping to learn a little bit more next week. I'm heading out to practice on Tuesday morning. So I'll be late into work, Michael, so prepare. Be ready, just in case. But I'm hoping to find out a little bit more, get a feel of what this team's looking like. And again, it's fall camp. You know, you're going to see an intense coach out there. You're going to see a coach yelling and clapping hands and running up and down the field. And I always just look for, what stands out. And I joke, but it's also something that's serious to me. And when I say the hot, nasty speed thing, that's what I'm looking for. Is there a guy out there that just is uncoverable or covers everything? That's what I'm looking for when I'm out there. Who's taking the first team reps at quarterback? Who's taking first team reps at running back? What's the wide receiver core look like? You know, is Tommy Maher, who's one of the few longtime Rams that stuck around, is he going to separate a bit and be kind of a household name for Colorado State? I want to amend something I said yesterday, Michael. I had the two-man game podcast today with Coach Steve Smiley, and kind of like we did with Ed, we talked to Ed about the 5-for-5, but we talked a little bit about that because Smiley, of course, was Brock Wisney's coach. We talked about Brock. He did enter the transfer portal in April. Brock Wisney did actually put his name in the transfer portal. So the new ruling that this Colorado judge came out with to clarify, saying, yes, people that graduated in 2022 would be allowed that fifth year because the NCAA said, hey, 2023 and beyond, which would mean you're a current player. So I get the thinking behind that. You know, Smiley laid that out beautifully on the podcast today. They wanted to honor that for players that are currently in college. well, they would be currently in college if they just would have went back to 2023. That being said, the clarification from the judge was, if you didn't enter the portal in April, you could come back, but you can't transfer. You would have to be on the team. They're not going to make any kind of exception for these players, which I think is kind of jacked up. I think there should be like a 3-day, but it'd be crazy. It'd be chaos. Also, and so that wouldn't affect Brock, so he could actually go to a different college team. But the other clarification the judge made, was that if you signed a professional contract, and that's where it would hurt Brock, because he did sign a professional contract to play in Spain. Now, that's not done. They are still fighting through this. And I asked Smiley, what do you know? Does that mean he can't rejoin? He said, I mean, based on that, it kind of sounds like it, but I don't know if they're going to continue to fight this or not. Where I think that's unfair is if you're Wisney, you're not going to sign a professional contract, because if you didn't, then they would look elsewhere, and then you lost your opportunity to go play basketball, professional basketball, overseas. So you kind of had to sign it. He did actually enter the portal in April. Something else Smiley brought up, though, that's also screwing kids up. UNC is not one of these, but there were certain schools in the country that did not allow players to enter the portal in April to put their name in there. If they were like, wait, you're done. Your eligibility's over. They weren't thinking of a lawsuit winning against the NCAA to allow the 2022 players to come back. So some schools just simply said, we're not going to mess with that. I don't know who those schools are, but there were some schools that were like, you're done with your eligibility. Why would you enter your name in the transfer portal? No, leave us alone. That happened. So if you can prove that that happened and you were shut out of the portal, I'm very curious to see how that one goes too. 22 minutes after the hour, coming up, the latest on the Denver Nuggets. And yes, I know we're in the dead time for the NBA. No, we're not, actually. The Nuggets are still trying to figure out what they're going to do about their Peyton Watson situation. They did pick up another player today, a player that they've kind of wanted off and on for the past few years. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The summer months can be busy. Keep up with the latest in local news, sports, and weather on Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Nuggets and Lonnie Walker have agreed to a one-year, $3.3 million deal. Walker's an interesting one. Lonnie Walker was a guy that, if you recognize that name, Tanner popped into my office and said, why is Lonnie Walker's name familiar? The Nuggets have a little bit of a history with Walker. They played against him a few times over the years, but they wanted to get him on their roster a few years ago, back in 2024. They were linked to Walker, who was at that point a 26-year-old, former first-round pick. He was playing in Lithuania. He had a buyout that was available for an NBA team willing to do that. At that point, Denver had a really bad bench, and there was a lot of talk that they would go after him. However, the Nuggets just didn't quite pull the trigger, and the Philadelphia 76ers got him. He finished the season with Philly. Then he spent 2 years and a stint in the Middle East. So he's been playing out of league. I don't know that he played anywhere last year, but he did sign with the... No, he did. He spent the 25-26 season with a EuroLeague team and an Israeli premier in the Israeli Premier League. So, what do we know about Lonnie Walker? He's a good defensive player. He's one of those guys that's dedicated to playing defense. His last year in the NBA was 24-25, as I mentioned, with Philadelphia. That was one of his best years production-wise. He had 12 points. He averaged 12 points per game, 3.2 rebounds per game. He's like an athletic dude. And that's kind of what the Nuggets seem to be going for. You know, bringing a guy like Marvin Bagley onto this team, drafting Trevin Brazil, and now getting Lonnie Walker, who is a 6'4 guard. That would lead me to believe the Bruce Brown thing is over. The reuniting of Bruce Brown was cool. It was a fun story last offseason. Didn't quite work out maybe the way we wanted it to. They weren't able to recapture the Bruce Brown they had when they during their championship run. So Lonnie Walker jumping in with the Denver Nuggets on a one-year deal. So, I don't know. I mean, he can handle the ball, too. They need more ball handlers. So that's certainly been one of the issues for the Nuggets. But this maybe addresses that. There's a bunch of maybes, Mike. Bunch of maybes surrounding the Nuggets. I don't know that this any of the moves they've made are obvious wins. So much is up in the air with this team. You know, Aaron Gordon injury, Joker's future, Christian Brown injury. Can Cameron Johnson have a full season where he's really good? I thought he got better as the season went on. Oh, yeah, and the big one, the Peyton Watson news. And the more I see on this, the more I'm led to believe that the Nuggets are pretty much looking to trade him, the sign-in trade. Again, means they have to get out of the second apron by moving on from Azeeq Naji. But according to DNVR Nuggets last night, the Nuggets remain in active trade talks with multiple teams on potential Peyton Watson sign-in trades, including the Cavs, Bucks, and the Clippers. I've heard the Bucks a lot on this one. Man, that was their priority to start the offseason, and it just sounds like they're going to have to miss out, because I don't know that Watson has any interest in long-term plans with the Nuggets. In fact, I honestly think worst case scenario would be that he picks up his or that he plays at his whatever he's at, $6 million or whatever. I think that's the worst case scenario, because then you're going to get a guy who's just kind of biding his time. You know, just say, hey, I'll play this year. It's a contract year though, so you might get the best version of Peyton Watson. So maybe not. Maybe I'm talking myself out of that. Because there's a part of my brain that goes, is he going to really care that he's here with Denver? Is he going to have one of those, you know, not so serious injury, but not try to come back anytime soon? But the other side of my brain's thinking, well, it'd be a contract year. If he wants to get paid more, if he wants to make sure he can get to that, get close to that $30 million, then he'd need to ball out for the Nuggets and help them go as far as they possibly can. So a couple of Nuggets updates there. Still, just I think overall the way I view the Nuggets offseason this year is just underwhelming. Cannot say with any kind of confidence that on paper this team is better than they were a year ago. I think they're a slightly worse team based on today. Yes, Michael.
I was going to ask you if you thought they were better, if they were worse after you said better.
I don't think so. I think they're worse.
So they basically did nothing and stayed in the apron.
Yeah, and got in the apron.
Yeah, so that's a slightly worse team, according to you. Plus, in the apron, which gives them a lot of limitations, bad decision-making in the offseason.
I don't know. Was it a bad decision to bring Spencer Jones back for $6 million a year for 2 years, for $12 million? Again, I don't know. I'm torn on that. I think he's not worth $6 million, but he might play up to that pretty quickly and prove me wrong. This is what they did in the offseason. They brought in Marvin Bagley,
Alpha Diallo, if I could say that right. He was playing in Europe. Really good. Based on that, he was the defense. You know, when he was there, he was the defense player of the year. Lonnie Walker, defensive minded guy. Trevin Brazil, athletic rookie. Bryce Hopkins had a good summer camp or summer league. That's who you brought in. And out, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jonas Valanciunas, Jalen Pickett's going to the Clippers. David Roddy, he's going to go play overseas, former Ram. They retained Spencer Jones and Tyus Jones, and Peyton Watson is still a restricted free agent. Tim Hardaway's better than any of those guys right now, better here, that they brought in. You could argue that Jonas Valanciunas is better than any of those guys they brought in. So you lose those guys and you try to piece this thing together, wire it together. Ugh. Texter from the 970. I do not think that they are any better this year, but I wouldn't be shocked if they finish better next year. It all depends on health. That's the thing. It does. If you tell me right now Aaron Gordon will be healthy most of the season and into the playoffs, and assuming the starting lineup is a go, I think they could be a sneaky team. I wouldn't say that they're a favorite by any stretch, but they could be a sneaky team that maybe, if everything goes right, and Joker's playing lights out, and you get one or two guys that play beyond our expectations. Like, I have all reasonable expectations for Murray. Christian Brown, I would just assume he's going to be better because he's, you know, he came off of that ankle injury. Ankles are big injuries here in the state of Colorado. I just assume Brown's going to be better. If I'm predicting, I'm going to say Christian Brown's going to be better. Cameron Johnson, fine. Aaron Gordon, healthy, good. Joker, obviously Joker. But you're going to need somebody else, assuming Peyton Watson's not on this list, to be a consistent every game producer. One or two guys that maybe are up in the air as far as, you know, labeling them with question marks, and that is basically everybody on the bench. Don't have high expectations for Tyus Jones. Julian Strother, still waiting to see what that looks like. Spencer Jones, already talked about it. Marvin Bagley. Does Trevin Brazil as a rookie do anything? Does Alpha do anything? Lonnie Walker do anything? That's the thing. That's why today I think they got worse. Texter says, no, Tim Hardaway stresses me out more than maybe it should. I mean, the guy launched. You know, he's launching. For better or worse, covered or not covered, he's launching threes, but he was still a really good three-point shooter for this team. And you're gonna miss that. He did. I get what you're saying, though. He did stress me out. There were times he'd just roll down the floor before they could even set up an offense, and he'd just throw it up. But are you telling me, Texter, you don't think Tim Hardaway Jr. is better than the new guys coming in? You would take you like Marvin Bagley, Lonnie Walker, the rookies, even the guys they retained, Spencer Jones and Tyus Jones. I still think Tim Hardaway is better than all of those guys today, as we sit here on August 6th. 36 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. ESPN did an interesting piece on every NFL team's future Hall of Famers. They're playing the prediction game. How many of those guys on the Broncos roster do they think will be Hall of Famers? Are there any guys on this Broncos list other than Patrick Surtain that you would be comfortable predicting their names to be put in to the Hall of Fame? Canton, Ohio. 36 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Liquor this week, our beverage of the week is Colonel E.H. Taylor's Small Batch Bourbon. This is the premier Kentucky whiskey made with selected grains, pure limestone, and their line, I love this, we said it earlier, the quality is not accidental, it's fundamental. So if bourbon is your jam, you might want to check this out, available at On the Rocks Liquor today. Get your bottle today at On the Rocks Liquor. They have their free wine and beer tastings. They do every Friday at 4 o'clock. Check them out. On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Sorry about that, Texter. I got you now. Texter says, I was trying to say that not having Tim Hardaway stresses me out more than it should. This is what happens when using voice while driving. Yeah. When you're texting, you know, do the voice to text thing, and we'll try our best to decipher it, because we don't want you texting and driving. Right, Mike?
PSA. Absolutely not.
There you go. You don't text and scoot, do you?
No. I don't. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've looked at my text while I'm on the scooter, but I'm completely stopped.
The ESPN put out a story. They're predicting, you know, they look at every single team and predict guys on their roster who will be in the Hall of Fame. Here they have three names. They say this. Like, it's not a sure thing, but they say keep it up. So they're basically saying they believe these players are on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Pat Surtain, obviously. Quinn Meinerz and Nick Benito. They write, Benito has been a sensation since entering the starting lineup for the Broncos, racking up 27.5 sacks over the past two seasons. Yeah, that's incredible. He's playing only 60% of the defensive snaps, which hints at the Broncos preferring him in more of a situational role. But there's the potential for even more growth if defensive coordinator Vance Joseph ups his snap share in 2026. Meinerz and Surtain are two of the absolute best players in football at their respective positions. That's true. And I tend to agree. They say work to do. They have three guys on the work to do list that are maybe not quite on that path, but could get there. Zach Allen, new Bronco, Jalen Waddle, and Bo Nix.
Did they leave Garrett Bowles?
They did leave Garrett Bowles off the list, yeah.
Kind of a
patchy start for him.
Well, he had a patchy start, but then he's become one of the best.
Right.
I forget the guy's name, but he was on the Rams, and he was awful on the Rams. But then he had a good career. St. Clair, I think. He had a good career in the NFL. I think Garrett Bowles is going to be known, maybe by Broncos fans, as not being as good
as we wanted. Think Broncos fans have kind of reconciled. I think, but there was a time, remember the holding jokes, and every time Bowles' name was announced by an official for holding or committing a penalty, crowd would, you know, pretty contagious boo would happen. There was a time there.
Yeah, his name was mentioned way too much.
Yeah, but he's rounded out to become one of the top left tackles, I would say.
Quietly.
But
though.
Hall of Fame, Michael. Hall of Fame, man. Is he the best at his position?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Doesn't cut it, though.
And you know what? Offensive linemen, they don't put a lot of them in the Hall of Fame.
It's hard.
They really don't.
It's hard to, because the voter, you got to watch the games closer, than because the stats help out a lot.
How many offensive linemen are Ring of Famers?
I don't know. Nalen's probably one. Zimmerman.
I think that's it.
Who am I thinking of here?
Terry Bradshaw.
He was a quarterback for the Steelers.
Yes, he was.
Is there a guy? Cooper?
No.
No? Ryan Clady? Ring of
no.
Famer? No. They were kind of not.
Matt Lepsis?
Matt
maybe?
Lepsis, yeah, maybe.
Lepsis was good.
Matt Lepsis? Columbus?
No. Great name, though.
They had a revolving door for a while for offensive linemen. They have a damn good line now.
I mean, you could have, under the Shanahan era, had a revolving door of offensive linemen. But Schlereth, is he on there?
Yeah, he should be a Ring of Famer. Yeah, he should be.
Schlereth, he was only with the Broncos.
He wasn't there for long,
years,
but he was there in their runs, their Super Bowl runs. So
he's got three rings. He was with the Red Commanders.
With Washington, yeah. That's right. Do you agree with that list? You want to add anybody? They have Nick Bonito, Quinn Meinerz, and Pat Surtain. You told me during the break.
Bonix.
No. I don't think so.
It's going to be his year.
I'm going to go. I honestly don't disagree with anybody on that list. Bonito, Meinerz, Surtain. They say work to do, Zach Allen. Offensively, is there anybody that... J.K. Dobbins, no. Jalen Waddle, at this point, no. But Evan Ingram, no.
No, Bo Nix.
That's probably my one I kind of disagree on. Although they're saying the same thing. He has work to do. I think a lot of people believe that.
I think he does have some work to do, but I think he's got the talent to do
it.
He's
not on the path right now. He's not on the Hall of Fame path right now. He's waiting at the bus stop. He's sitting there. He hasn't jumped on the bus yet. Surtain is driving that thing.
Certainly has.
Quinn Meinerz is right behind him, sitting next to Nick Bonito. They're moving on down the Hall of Fame road. Bo Nix is still sitting at the bus stop. They haven't picked him up yet.
Well, Bo Nix is sitting in the back of the bus where all the cool people sit.
No, he's not on the bus.
He's on the bus.
He's not on a Hall
back
of Fame.
Back of the bus.
You cannot
cool
look at his last 2 years and say that's Hall of Fame worthy like type numbers. If you duplicate that, if you just keep doing exactly what you're doing right now, you're a Hall of Famer. No. No. What you've seen in the last 2 years is John Elway number? Is John Elway-esque?
John Elway's not driving the bus. John Elway
is the
owns
bus.
The bus.
He is the bus. He's the horse. I don't know. 48 minutes after
probably
the hour.
Would have been better if we
probably
had like
would have been better to use
a horse and buggy.
Yeah,
thing.
That probably would have been a better analogy.
One of those Wells Fargo.
Any sneaky guys
carriages.
Like that we're not talking about that aren't even on? They're not even at the bus stop. They haven't even left their apartment yet. Anybody like that that might be a surprise?
I mean, there's the practice squad.
No, guys that are actually going to be key contributors.
Can we mention Murdoch right now? Because I'm hopeful for him.
You're going to say Red Murdoch is the guy that maybe.
I really want him to be.
Everybody wants Red Murdoch to be the guy. 49 minutes after the hour. I mean, had an awesome year with Buffalo. And he was picked, of course, round 7, 257.
Buffalo, the college, not the Bills.
He did not go to college for the Bills, no. You're correct. We'll wrap up this hour. We got the clip of the day coming up next.
During your commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Coming up, we'll have the clip of the day. Alex Taylor from YO Sports shared a video of Jay Sauvelle addressing this. We talked about this last week, the Wyoming punter story, Bart Edmiston Jr., who is pursuing legal actions over Nolan Wells' accusations. The story about Nolan Wells is wild. And I want to get into more of that because there has been more information. And again, this is normally not a story we're talking about, Michael, but because this and I'm saying this clearly, this does not, at this point, involve the Wyoming punter. But there are people online that are accusing him of the murder of Nolan Wells. And so that is why he's pressing charges. They're pressing charges at this point in time. They're pursuing legal action over that. So there has been an update on that story, and we'll get to it. Also, Jay Sauvelle's thoughts and what one athletic director said today that has confused a nation? How one athletic director confused a nation. That's coming up next. Keep it here.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.